The Age of Entitlement, America Since the 60s. Christopher Caldwell, Simon & Schuster, 2020. 349 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance by Benjamin J. Montoya, Ph.D. About the author. Christopher Caldwell is a contributing editor of the Claremont Review of Books and a contributing opinion writer for the New York Times. He was previously a senior editor at the Weekly Standard and a columnist for the Financial Times. He is the author of The Age of Entitlement, America Since the 60s, and Reflections on the Revolution in Europe, Immigration, Islam, and the West. Introduction. The U.S. has changed drastically since the 60s. In ways that would have been unthinkable before, there is a new kind of entitlement that has created new requirements, taken away certain constitutional rights, and has sought to retool the Constitution. What is this movement all about? Has this movement been successful? Although the efforts of this movement persist, as we continue to see even in recently released films, this effort has ultimately not had the impact for which it had hoped. Consider our important summary to learn more about this supposed civil rights movement, to understand our culture more thoroughly with the hopes of engaging with it further. Table of Contents. Part 1. The Revolutions of the 60s. Chapter 1. 1963. Chapter 2. Race. Chapter 3. Sex. Chapter 4. War. Part 2. The New Construction. Chapter 5. Debt. Chapter 6. Diversity. Chapter 7. Winners. Chapter 8. Losers. Summary. Part 1. The Revolutions of the 1960s. Chapter 1. 1963. After the death, assassination of J.F. Kennedy, this country changed drastically. Before his death, this country was viewed as a gift, and he was leading the way for a lot of changes. But after his death, the civil rights movement largely took over in the political area. Civil rights ideology became the model, an entirely new system of political reform. This was not just meant to be part of what people knew in their political system. The civil rights movement intended to replace what was there in toto. It was a rival constitution of sorts that demanded allegiance. People within the movement are not content to be part of a democracy. They want people to take sides, ideally for their movement, but take sides nonetheless. It is this poisonous conflict that the book describes. Chapter 2. Race. The new civil rights movement began to focus its attention on race. Instead of focusing on the larger issues at hand, this one single issue, though important, became the sledgehammer used to break what had been in place before politically and in the private sphere of this country, without a construction crew to come in to replace it with anything else. What it was trying to destroy was viewed through the lens of race, as though something was immediately oppressive and racist. In addition to being a sledgehammer of sorts, it also became a license for the government to do whatever it wanted in the name of affirmative action and political correctness. The Constitution never granted the government these kinds of broad-ranging authority, but the civil rights movement took it to that end. The larger underlying problem is that this civil rights agenda cannot be merely added to the existing Constitution. For this movement to establish new liberties and ways of doing things in both the political and private spheres, it had to extinguish things it did not like. For example, freedom of association was something that people had previously enjoyed and had. Now, instead of viewing that as an issue separate from race, the proverbial waters were muddied through conflict in the courts and public sphere to make the issue of association the same as that of race, granting the civil rights movement all kinds of power over it. The result of all of this work is that this system of overthrowing what was seen in America because the template for overthrowing every other tradition in American life, continuing on with the roles of men and women. This movement never intended to stop after achieving what they perceived as success in one area. Chapter 3. Sex. If the changes prior to this one showed anything, this one definitely made its mark on the American society. Sex itself began to be viewed as a dividing point in society in several ways. First, women used to have similar views if they were married or not, but then they began to have very differing views from one another as society shifted. This may seem like a small thing, but it was due to the undercurrent of a larger societal changes. Second, sex itself began to be influenced by the Playboy culture of the day. It began to be viewed as something consumeristic, something that was to be enjoyed and tailored to someone's preferences. people began to demand variety, excellence, and convenience just like in every other area of their consumeristic lives. Third, the division of roles of men and women that had been previously known began to change. With more women entering the workforce at all levels of society, feminism began to insist upon women being able to join the workforce and even feminized male fashion to accommodate it, with skirt suits, high-heeled wingtips, and scarves tied like bow ties. Feminism wanted to be involved in technology, management, and the marketplace, and having women involved at every level was crucial. Where did all these changes come from? These changes are the result of the application of the same civil rights movement being applied to sex. That is what drove larger court rulings like Roe v. Wade that ended up legalizing abortion at that time. They wanted to change the country's views of sex in all its different facets mentioned here, in their larger movement to change everything. Chapter 4, War. The Vietnam War is an important turning point in American politics and in the discussion of this book. After America was involved with and helped win other wars, the Vietnam War represented a defeat that had not been expected. Sure, it looked like a win on paper, but when America signed a treaty to leave the country, it is because they truly lost. The previous generation of people, the baby boomers, became known as the last generation of Americans who had never lost a war. The loss created distrust and an understandable angst in the country against the administration at the time. But this was during a time when all the other civil rights issues were going on. This was a time when people experimented heavily with all kinds of dangerous drugs. These people even included well-known professors at respected institutions. There was a major presence of impurity with this new counterculture. The loss also left the nation in a sort of decay. Instead of being on the leaders as it had been used to being, it was now showing signs of weakness. Political leaders were being caught in political scandals, forcing them out of office, like Nixon, and even automobile makers who were used to making nicer convertibles could no longer do as they could before. The country was not doing well financially, and this was a sign of the condition of that time. Part 2, The New Construction. Chapter 5, Debt. With the election of a new president, Ronald Reagan came the turning of the tide to changes in immigration, inequality, and debt. Reagan differed strongly with the previous administration, and it did so in a lot of ways, but part of what Reagan's plan involved was borrowing to enact the government's projects. Historically, the U.S. government only borrowed money during world wars. In this instance, the U.S. began to borrow for bigger projects like it had never done before. There was no doubt opposition to such borrowing, as some claimed that they were borrowing against the future of the U.S. In hindsight, this has become so common that it may seem odd to read about this, but the U.S. was not always a nation in such debt. Furthermore, there were new changes enacted for immigration that made it much easier for people to become citizens. This was pushed through legislation in a way to catch people off guard, as though they did not realize the full impact of what happened. Many viewed it as an outright fraud perpetuated on the public, in fact. Why and how did this happen? It was because of the spirit of the civil rights movement. Doing this sort of thing was only a measure to gain support for their views. Furthermore, there was an important linguistic change regarding how people spoke of blacks. They became either people of color or African Americans. They lost the term associated with their color. And then the civil rights movement leaders were able to broaden this group of people that they had perceived as oppressed by society. This would lead to the later development of ideas such as intersectionality. In the wake of these various issues, a new elite of businessmen began to rise that would campaign on their own interests just like political leaders did and so. Two examples include, the newest member of the Apple II family, one began, has its own reasons for being, but such ads were now explicitly political too. Increasingly, they presented the company under discussion as being in the making the world a better place business. Barbie, the doll dreams are made of, ran one 1986 ad showing the doll in an astronaut suit. It would be sexist not to buy it. Chapter 6, Diversity. The next front for the civil rights movement was that of diversity. This term can have a variety of understandings, but the way that the proponents of the civil rights movement used it is to force diversity in ways they approve of and nothing else. It's like they created their own constitution of sorts without actually undoing the existing one. This is where it is where they wielded their swords of affirmation, action, and political correctness quite well. They even got the courts to side with them, having direct access to them to use the courts to force people to do what they wanted. Furthermore, this kind of diversity had no patience for the kinds of freedoms previously known. The U.S. used to be a place known for things like freedom of speech. Caldwell describes what used to be the case as follows. Traditionally, there has been extraordinary expressive freedom in the United States. Free speech, free press, free exercise of religion are placed separate and apart, wrote Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas. They are above and beyond the police power. They are not subject to regulation in the matter of factories, slums, apartment houses, production of oil, and the like. This conception of First Amendment freedoms was being eroded. Now these freedoms were taken away from fear of actual litigation. Sure, someone could now say that what they want, but there would be an actual price to pay if it did not match with the agenda of the civil rights movement. A larger part of their insistence on diversity is their acceptance of postmodernity applied to all areas of life. Postmodernity questions the larger meta-narratives that people live by, leaving the burden of proof to those who hold them. Postmodernity then largely claims anything goes, according to their own meta-narrative. So if they are wanting to apply some of their same logic for race to sex and sexual preferences, then the likes of a book like Heather Has Two Mommies appears. The book became to symbolize the controversy over diversity trying to normalize homosexuality by teaching it to children in the first grade. Part of what helped allow these efforts to become widespread and globalized further were technological developments like the computer, globalization, and globalism. People now had tools and technology to travel faster than ever before and communicate quicker than ever before. Similarly, people began to have more access to knowledge and consumer products. These kinds of developments most certainly made it easier for people to spread their ideals quicker than ever before. These kinds of things have become normal for us now, but they used to not even exist. Chapter 7, Winners. So who's keeping score so far? Who's winning? Well, in an environment largely in the hands of people pushing the civil rights movements, they are the winners, at least in some sense. They ensure their victory by playing the system and making the system work for them, however they see fit. Their approach involved using lawsuits, shame, and street power to overrule what had been known as a democratic society and politics. These kinds of changes are a basic repeal of constitutional rights like freedom of speech and freedom of association. Sure, someone could say what they want, but now they are more likely to get sued, lose their jobs, and be shamed. Someone can even have some kind of freedom of association, but now that freedom has been augmented by the agenda of the civil rights movement. They began to force their political views in all kinds of ways. First, they did so directly through the government, but not in the way of the Constitution allows. The U.S. Constitution has legitimate ways of making changes, but those ways take time and have lots of checks and balances. It takes time, so what does this movement do? They circumvent the process by turning the judicial system into the lawmaking system. Instead of being a court that interprets the law, now they were expected to create new laws based on their rulings. This was a key play of the Obama administration in getting many of their most celebrated rulings through. Second, they required people to follow their views by creating rules over lending. The government-sponsored enterprises, GSEs, like Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, became required to follow certain preferred lending guidelines of the civil rights movement. The GSEs were forced to lend to higher debt-to-income ratios and consider applicants they likely would have previously denied based on their credit history. Third, they also commerce and its leaders would also come to have more say in politics than ever before, being prime supports of their preferred candidates. The group became what kind of a civil rights elite group that rules over the society by paying people off to do what they want them to do. They are also able to silence any opposition. Again, keep in mind the consequences that can and will accompany and deviation, lawsuits, shame, etc. Chapter 8, Losers. There is an old saying that goes something like this. If you get a red car or are thinking about getting one, you begin to see it everywhere you go. So also is the case with the civil rights movement. Its proponents began to try to make everything in the country about civil rights. Politicians in the recent past tried to bring back the label of the Tea Party to push their civil rights agenda. Hollywood began recasting people in various films like Star Wars to push a more diverse ethnic agenda. Universities came under the influence of things like affirmative action because now they had to enroll so many students from various ethnicities instead of focusing on who was more qualified, even for places like Yale. It is as though advocates of the civil rights movement wore civil rights glasses through which they began to see everything in the world. This is exactly the kind of thing that the entire Black Lives Matter movement is all about. The movement's goals would take weak arguments and popularize by emotionally charging them to make them about race, even if they were not. Ironically, the civil rights movement began to exclude races that did not fit into their marginalized agenda. Whites then were radicalized in a way never understood before, as if American politics were not even about them. So what has been the result of all of what the civil rights movement has tried to accomplish? Have they been successful in their quest to change this country? In the end, they lost. Caldwell sums up their defeat well. Civil rights never became self-regenerating as the Americans of 1964 had hoped it would. The legitimacy of civil rights legislation rested on the belief that it would be a transitional measure, leading to a stable, racially mixed society. Professing to oppose racial distinctions in the South while introducing them on a nationwide basis via affirmative action and other programs would have been illogical, hypocritical, and unjust if done on a permanent basis. The extra rights of protection and redress that minorities enjoy were admissible as stopgaps, not as permanent parts of the Constitution. There is no doubt the civil rights movement has had an ongoing impact of sorts on the country, with ongoing reminders in Hollywood and the media. But their penultimate goal of entitlement, going so far as to alter the Constitution, has failed. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.